Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Mei Nai, who's a professor of history and the Lung Family Professor of Asian American Studies at Columbia University. She's a political historian interested in questions of immigration, citizenship, and nationalism, and is the author of Impossible Subjects, Illegal Aliens and the Making of Modern America, The Lucky Ones, One Family, and the Extraordinary Invention of Chinese America. And her forthcoming book is The Chinese Question. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mei Nai.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, Mei. And you're quoted in today's New York Times in response to Donald Trump's remarks, saying that they were sadly reminiscent of the language used by American nativists and racists in the early 20th century against Eastern, Eastern and Southern Europeans and Asians. And you went on to say, obviously, he likes Norwegians because they are white, but he knows nothing about Norway, a country with single-payer universal health care and free college education. Why would anyone want to leave Norway for the United States? And I might add that Norway has been rated as the happiest country in the world. So this is not a very happy time in America, I would say.
No, it's not. It's a very trying time.
And is there a connection here, going back to the immigration debates of the early 1920s, when the quota system was introduced? That was a period in American history when eugenics were quite popular. And also in 1927, Donald Trump's father, Fred, was arrested at a Ku Klux Klan rally in New York. So let's go back to that era. I mean, it's clearly not, you can't be that atavistic and bring back the KKK. But so how would you assess this sort of atavism that's going on in the political debate over immigration?
Well, let me just say first, we did see the KKK at Charlottesville, and so they do have a new lease on life. But notwithstanding, the racial language that we hear today around immigration is really eerily similar to what we heard in the 19-teens and the 1920s. It was an openly racist opposition to immigrants, but at that time, the objects of racist discourse were Italians, Jews, Hungarians, Slavic people, who were not really considered to be genuinely white people at the time. And the National Origin Quotas Act that was passed in 1924 was a straight-up racist bill, which distributed quotas according to a kind of index of racial desirability. So Great Britain, Germany, France, the Scandinavian countries all had very high quotas, and countries like Italy, Poland, Russia, Hungary, Greece had very, very small quotas. And it was, well, I will say it was a thinly disguised racial program because it did not exclude specifically on race. It excluded or distributed the quotas based on country or national origin. So national origin was a kind of euphemism for race at the time. There were also other straight-up racial elements at the time. The 24 Act excluded all Asians, period. Not just a restriction, but all Asians. So now we're seeing a call for, as Trump is saying, you know, he wants people from white countries, although that's not really what the Republican agenda is. The Republican agenda is a little more nuanced. It's not blatantly racist, although I think at its core it is still racist. They want to admit people by merit, right? And the assumption is that all the unskilled or low-skilled people coming are coming from non-European countries. So if they admit by merit, you would get, well, Trump thinks more white people, right? He thinks Norway is a skill.
Well, the in the infamous discussion in the Oval Office, which was meant to deal with DACA, and obviously there's a standoff between Trump and the hardliners like Tom Cotton, who want a merit-based system, and also and Trump wants to build a wall, and the DACA, the 800,000 kids in the DACA program are somewhat being held hostage ahead of a likely government shutdown on Friday. My sense is that there will be a government shutdown, that the Democrats actually have quite a bit of leverage. I'm absolutely appalled that both Tom Cotton and Sonny Perdue the two senators, hardliners that were in this meeting, have gone on the record on Sunday to say that to deny Trump said what he said, when in fact the Democratic Senator Dick Durbin, and he was buttressed by the Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who's in the meeting, and also Senator Jeff Flake, was told by his colleagues about what was actually said shortly after the meeting.
Right.
So the whole world accepts what Senator Durbin is saying. I mean, these people are moral midgets at Cotton and Purdue. I mean, and they're complete, and so is Trump. I mean, the whole world is saying, yeah, he said it. I mean, who's denying it except these people?
Well, we see this pattern repeatedly from Trump. He says all kinds of outrageous things. Then he said he didn't really say it. It's fake news, you know, et cetera. But this doesn't go over anymore. And it's not the first time he said blatantly racist things. So it would not be out of character at all, what he said.
So let's focus on the merit-based system that Tom Cotton and others are offering up and Trump prefers. They, of course, cite the fact that the Canadians started a merit-based system where your race is not an issue. It's a question of how educated you are and what skills you can bring to the country. So on the surface, people would probably, the average American would say, well, that sounds like a good system.
Well, it depends on how many points you give for what kinds of assets, right? You know, there was a merit system floated in the Senate several years ago when there was an attempt at comprehensive immigration reform. And, you know, you get points for certain attributes. So if you have more than $1 million, you get so many points. If you have the higher college degree you have, if you have a PhD, you have more points. If you speak English, you have more points. According to that that proposal, if you spoke little English, you did not have a lot of skills or education. But you had family members in the United States, you wouldn't get enough points to come in. The Canadian system, I think, gives more points for family connections. So I think that it all depends on what gets rewarded and what doesn't. But, you know, the president's kind of racism is going to run into a problem because he's already written off a lot of people who would do very well on a point system. He's written off Iran, for example. Iraq. I mean, these are countries that have highly educated professional classes who are English speaking. But he's banned them under the Muslim ban. There are also highly skilled people from African countries, from Asian countries. You know, I think when they look really closely at it, I don't know if some of the president's supporters are going to like that system either, because in some ways the merit argument is a cover for excluding people of color, for excluding brown people, especially the unskilled. But you're going to wipe out also people with high educations and very high skills from other non-European countries in the world. So I think a lot of this is politicking, this thing of chain migration versus merit-based migration. You know, when you really look closely at it, you can't really separate it in that way. You know, for the United States to say they don't want anybody to come who already has a family here, it would be an outrage, a total outrage, regardless of, you know, what the background of that family is. I will say, though, that, you know, the current system we have is very problematic. You know, I don't favor continuing the current system without some reexamination. The current system gives new green cards to countries on the basis of an idea of fairness, that we treat all countries the same. Now, that in practice is not fair, because Mexico has the same number of allotment, has the same maximum number of visas that it can get as a country like Belgium or Norway, for that matter. So there are only very few countries that, you know, max out on their quotas every year: Mexico, India, China, and the Philippines. Right? If you want to get a visa from one of those countries for some of the family categories, the wait can be 30 years. That's ridiculous. If you apply for a visa from, you know, Norway, if somebody in Norway would want to come to this country, You know, there's no line because there's so little demand.
Sure.
So the system that we have as it is not really fair, and I think we need to take a harder look at, you know, how we measure things like family relationships, skills, as well as an idea of fairness.
Well, the president tweeted out, "I, as president, want people coming into our country who are going to help us become strong and great again. People coming in through a system based on merit in caps. No more lotteries. America first." Now, we know what America first means, and let's make America great again. That was the rallying cries during the campaign, and his audiences were almost entirely white. They had a sprinkling of sort of token African Americans. In fact, at one point, Trump said, "Where's my African American?" So I see that as coded racism. America first. What is it, America? What America is he talking about?
He means make America white again. Is what he means.
Right.
I mean, I think that's patently clear. He means make America white again.
And Sessions shares in this, and he's actually working the agenda, is he not?
That's right. That's right. I mean, Sessions' agenda is to roll back civil rights and to go back to, I don't know, the 1950s or something.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say something. Let me go back to this shutdown and this DACA question.
That's the real issue.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be a shutdown or not. I don't have a crystal ball. But I will say that, you know, in 1986, when after many years of controversy and debate, in 1986 the Congress passed the Immigration Reform and Control Act, which did legalize nearly 3 million people here without documents. That was the last kind of mass legalization program we had in 1986. That bill also had a major provision for enforcement for building up the border. So that compromise between legalization and enforcement, we already have a precedent for that. Now, things are more extreme today because we have so many more undocumented people, and the border has already been built up to a really, you know, kind of militarized state. So it's hard to imagine how you could even militarize it more. And the kind of wall Trump is talking about is so expensive, I don't know if Congress would ever appropriate money for that. But we have this long history where enforcement and undocumented migration are, you know, they're intertwined. You know, all the walls and drones and everything on the border had slowed migration, but it did not stop it. And the main thing that stopped undocumented migration was not all this border enforcement. It was in 2008. It was the economic crisis. And migration from Mexico right now is at net zero. People coming over the border today are from Central America mostly, and they're fleeing violence and poverty and crime. They're not mostly Mexicans. So, you know, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what's actually going on. And I think, you know, I don't want to make predictions, but I think you might see some compromise on DACA and enforcement, and it wouldn't be without precedent.
Well, Trump said today DACA is probably dead because the Democrats don't really want it. They just want to talk and take desperately needed money away from our military. What an absurdity. And you think the military is short of money? You know, I mean,
he's on record saying he's for DACA.
Right.
So, you
I understand.
Know, he's just all over the map.
And he's talking about love. Well, expressing right. hate and talking about love. I thank you for joining us, Maynard. I appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
And again, I've been speaking with Maynard, who's a professor of history and the Long Family Professor of Asian American Studies at Columbia University. She's a political historian interested in questions of immigration, citizenship, and nationalism, and is the author of Impossible Subjects, Illegal Aliens in the Making of Modern America, The Lucky Ones, One Family, and the Extraordinary Invention of Chinese America. And her forthcoming book is The Chinese Question. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back looking into why our populist president governs of, by, and for the plutocrats.